Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now we continue our Faith in Hollywood series with quite a player in Tinseltown. Phil Cook is a media consultant and one of Hollywood's best-known producers in the Christian market, the co-founder of Cook Pictures. He's produced programs with Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, reaching billions of people around the world. So what are people like that really like behind the scenes? Phil is a passionate advocate of faith branding and encourages churches to communicate their message in today's media frenzy to take ministry to the next level. He says if they want to be listened to, they need to move with the times. Phil Cook, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee. I'm thrilled to be here. This is really fun.
Great to talk. Thanks so much, Phil. You came on our Open House radar after I read one of your articles entitled Why We Should Support Christian Projects from Hollywood. So two questions. How many of those are being made, and why should people support them?
Well, A, not enough are being made. At least I should say not enough good ones. You know, there's a lot of bad projects out there, of course, but every once in a while something comes along that's really stupendous, very similar to Mark Burnett's Bible series that aired here in the U.S. and in Australia, where it just broke all audience records. It literally just broke all audience records, and it got people really talking about the Bible again. So those kind of things happen, and what's funny was the biggest critics were Christians. So I'm a big advocate that we've got to stop criticizing and start getting behind some of these projects.
As a professional, as a producer, what separates the good and the bad?
Well, you know, I always say that, number one, we need to start with a great program or a great movie. If you have a message, there's a great quote from one of the founders of Warner Brothers Studios back in the 20s who said, if you want to send a message, call Western Union. And I think he's kind of right. Sometimes Christians, we try so hard to deliver a message that we screw up the story or we screw up the production and we don't tell a great film. So, number one, I think produce a great film, tell a great story, and then let the message be much more subtle and be an organic part of it, and that's really the secret.
Because people often think the message is strong enough on its own to be everything, and there's not much of a consideration for the aesthetics, the production quality.
That's exactly right. You know, people come home at the end of the day, they turn on the television, they plop down on the sofa or in their favorite chair. They don't expect to be preached to. They don't expect to be taught. They want to be entertained. And so I think, first of all, we have to captivate people with a compelling story. And then if a message comes along as a, you know, real part of that story, then it can make a huge impact on people. A good example is Jesus' parables.
Yes.
He didn't preach. He just told stories, simple stories that really change people's lives.
Why does the Christian community not support these projects as you think they might? Why are they more than anyone else critical?
Well, if you went online during the Bible series, it's interesting. People would say, well, that's not the way Goliath would have looked, or when Paul encountered God, it just wouldn't have been that way, or I didn't like the way David acted. It's just, honestly, kind of nitpicky, stupid things. And we think we have a corner on all this stuff, but the truth is, give the filmmakers a little artistic license. You know, trying to put the Bible in a 12-hour miniseries is hard enough, so sometimes we have to create, you know, go around some things and have a little creative license in order to make the story work. The truth is, the cool thing about the Bible series was it made the Bible cool again. People in the office who were hesitant to talk about God or about the Bible before suddenly could stand at the water cooler and have a great chat about God and the Bible, is it real? And so I think we need to look at the positives of these things rather than try to nitpick every single little theological thing about it.
That water cooler conversation is the defining element of something that will be successful or not. Again, take us inside that series. What made it so popular, so talked about?
Well, I think a big part of it was that it was agenda-free. So often we see TV specials that, you know, was Jesus really gay? Did Jesus really marry Mary Magdalene? There's so many documentaries we see on television today that are really agenda-driven, and they're not even close to what the Bible says. This I think Mark Burnett did a really, really good job of just trying to tell the simple story of the Bible. He didn't have an overt agenda. He wasn't trying to twist anything. He was just telling the story of the Bible. And the truth is, the Bible's still the best-selling book of all time.
Yes.
It's had a huge impact on Western culture. Someone told me the other day that there are 9,000 biblical references in Shakespeare alone. And so I think if we really tap into that, it's a powerful, powerful experience, and we don't have to give it an agenda. We don't have to change it. We don't have to update it, if you will. So I think just a simple story is what really captivated people's attention.
And in the U.S., there is a very sizable audience for this kind of product. There are 91 million evangelical Christians. They take their faith seriously.
You know, and if the evangelical Christian community, certainly in the U.S., would join together as one, we could impact Hollywood tomorrow. I mean, Hollywood doesn't respond to criticism. They don't respond to boycotts. They respond to one thing, and that's box office. And suddenly, if the Christian community could support movies they liked, trust me, Hollywood would get the message. But as a result, we nitpick these things, or we don't go to the movie, or we don't support great films. And trust me, that has an impact.
What about the impact beyond the Christian community, though?
Well, it's interesting that the numbers are so high across the board. One of the things about the Bible series in this particular case was the number of non-believers that were watching the series. And so I think people were just curious about it. I think Mark Burnett had done a good job advertising and promoting it. John Bach and the team at Grace Hill Media had done a really brilliant job in the marketing. And so I think it just started a cultural conversation. When those things happen, what a great opportunity to tap into it and really share it with friends and family and people like that.
Something else you referred to in your article were the 10 biggest myths about Hollywood. Take us through some of the main ones from an insider's point of view.
Well, I think one of the great myths about Hollywood is it's out to destroy the American family, or it's out to destroy the Christian presence around the world. So many ministries are constantly critical of Hollywood, and certainly they do bad stuff. But the truth is, publishers print bad stuff. The record industry releases bad stuff. So I'm not surprised that Hollywood does, too. Where I think we could make a real difference is support the good stuff. You know, it's interesting that if criticism and boycotts worked, why don't missionaries do that? Why don't we find a tribe in a third world country, surround the tribe, call them names, criticize them? Boy, that'll win them to Christ. What do we do? We develop a trust relationship with them. We become one of them. We work from the inside, and then guess what? That earns us the right to be heard. If we would do that with Hollywood, I think it would really change our relationship and certainly change many of the projects they're involved in. Hollywood is simply a business, and the truth is they'd sell their grandmother to make money if they could. And we just need to confront it that way. I think it's stop confronting Hollywood on an ideological basis as much and just start doing it as a business. I think when Mark Burnett went to the History Channel and said, let's make this series, he approached them from a business standpoint.
Yes.
And so I think that's what gets their attention. And so if we could focus on those things and create a good business proposition with a movie idea or a TV series idea, I think Hollywood is much more interested in listening to those kind of projects.
What about the question of creativity? You say the Christian culture lacks it, which is hard to understand because we live in a world of such creativity from the great creator.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting to me that he introduced himself to us in the very first book of the Bible as the creator, and
yes,
we are made in his image. We should be extraordinarily creative. In fact, in the Middle Ages, in the Renaissance, the church not only was creative and encouraged creativity, but became a patron of the arts. Now, let's throw out a really radical idea today. What if local churches could identify, find local artists and filmmakers and writers and creative people in their community, start supporting their dreams, start supporting their projects? What kind of witness would that be to a secular culture about how much we value being original and being creative and being innovative? I think it would be remarkable. So I think the church has a lot to get. You know, now we just kind of rip off the secular culture. I saw a sermon series the other day about following God using the little Twitter bird as their logo. Come on, we could do better than that. So I think we need to express ourselves in a far more creative way, and it would get the attention of the culture.
Does it require a greater contact with real people, because it's easy to be insular in the Christian community?
You know what, you're exactly right. And I actually think you have a great advantage over us. Australians have a greater advantage because in the U.S. there's such a Christian culture. We have our own bubbles we've created of Christian media and Christian publishing and Christian recording and Christian TV and radio that we could go through our whole life pretty much and live inside these little bubbles and never actually engage the culture. So I think it's really dangerous when we start living in those bubbles, and we do need to pop those and actually engage with the culture out there. Jesus was brilliant at doing that. So we should do it as well.
Can I get you to talk us through one particular quote of yours, again from your article? You say, changing the culture is a gigantic task. It's like the weather. We can't change the weather, but we can rescue people from the storm. We need to connect with that great audience out there so real change can eventually happen.
Yeah, you know, we spend so much time. I think it goes back to being critical. We just spend so much time criticizing it. And, you know, you don't get very far criticizing the weather. The weather is going to keep coming. And so I think culture is that way, too. Culture is everything that surrounds us. And you just don't, you can't corral that. You can't control it. But you can be influential inside of it. And I think that we can be a voice for truth inside the culture. And I think that's the best way to make a difference.
As I said before, you've worked with the likes of Billy Graham, Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer. One by one, can I just get you to give us a sketch of what they are like behind the scenes? Let's start with Billy Graham.
Absolutely the most gracious human being on the planet. Incredibly nice, incredibly perceptive, incredibly gracious. I just have the greatest respect for him. Talk about a life devoid of controversy. Integrity was such a high thing for him, an important principle for him, that he just went out of his way to do things that I'm afraid a lot of pastors today would think are ridiculous, but he did them in order to live a life of integrity, and I have such admiration for that.
One man very prominent today, Joel Osteen.
Joel is exactly what you see on television. Joel may be the most transparent human being I've ever met. I don't know of anybody I've ever met that is any more honest and real. He's just a regular guy. I have fun with him because he just orders fried chicken when we go out to eat. Nothing special. Just, you know, up until a few years ago, he drove a pickup truck. He's just a really nice, normal human being, and he's just fun to be around.
And yet if you see him in those sharp suits and in front of the huge crowds to kind of picture-perfect television person, he doesn't seem the average guy to me.
It's funny, but he does put a very high value on quality. And I think that when it comes to television, and that's a big part of, you know, we live in a 500-channel universe in the U.S. today, and we did some studies at our company that tell us that most people take between 2 and 3 seconds to decide whether or not to watch your program.
Wow.
And if the quality is not up to speed, it doesn't matter how great your message is, people, you're going to lose them. So I think he puts such an important value on quality that the cameras, the lighting, the arena, the setting, everything, he puts a lot of effort into, and I think it's a big part of why he's so successful.
So that's Billy Graham, Joel Osteen. Joyce Meyer, tell us what she's like.
Joyce Meyer is terrific. The thing I love about Joyce is she will listen to opposing arguments and she will go in the right direction, even if that means completely changing her thinking. A number of years ago, when we rebranded her ministry, she was stuck in some very traditional ways of thinking, and we argued for a long time about stuff. But when she really sees results, she's not afraid to say, I was wrong, let's change. And I'm so impressed with that. And she was willing to completely turn her ministry around, bring in young, creative talent. She's really involved today in third world countries. She's involved in international outreach. And she's done that largely because she saw the way the world was going. She saw the need. She was willing to change the way she thought. And that was so impressive to me.
Phil, can I ask you about your work? If
sure.
you were to name one project that you've been most proud of and why, what would that be?
Well, a number of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, we did a one-hour television documentary on William Wilberforce. It was called The Better Hour. And, you know, William Wilberforce was the British parliamentarian that abolished the slave trade throughout the British Empire. Walden Media came out with a major feature film on his life called Amazing Grace, and we came out with a documentary about the same time that aired nationwide on public broadcasting. And it generated so much buzz, it ended up getting a screening in the White House. The president watched it. And it just created a huge conversation about slavery. And it's interesting that now human trafficking worldwide is just such a big conversation, and
yes.
all of it started happening back about that time, and we certainly weren't the only ones that started that, but it was interesting to play a role in making such an important issue, bring it to the forefront, and we were very proud of the project we did.
Well done. You also write a daily blog called The Change Revolution. What's that about? What are you hoping to change?
It's my therapist, Lee. It's my therapist. I work with clients all day and producing projects, and rather than jump out the window, I write my blog.
that's helpful.
Well, we were just talking about that recently, and we're really focusing on how we influence the culture. That's what I write about most. And I really want people to understand and have tools for how to get your message across. I think everybody has a dream. Everybody has a vision. It may be a film idea or a book idea or a sermon or a business idea or a nonprofit idea, whatever. Most of us have an idea that we really want to get in front of donors or investors or an audience. And I want to really address that on the blog, how you can do that better. How can you get your voice heard in this very distracted and cluttered culture we live in? So if you have an idea, that blog that I'm writing at philcook.com is the place for you.
Okay. I think Hollywood's the better and the world is the better for having people and players like you there. Phil Cook, thank you so much for joining us on Open House. Very much appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lee. I always enjoy being here, man. It was terrific. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.